studies show that nearly 50% of all Christian kids, kids who, you know, grew up in Christian homes or grew up in a church type environment, once they graduate from high school, many of them, most of them, sadly and unfortunately, don't come back to the church.
Welcome to the Winning Family Podcast, the podcast designed to champion parents to raise spiritual leaders.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Winning Family Podcast. Michelle and I are super excited to be a part of this time with you. And let me just say, hey, before we dive into today's subject matter, please rate and review and share this with friends you know. And also be sure to DM us. We'd love to hear from you. Feel free to shoot us any question you have. We'd love to be able to tackle those questions that we can speak into in coming episodes. And so it always encourages us when we hear from people like you. Today, we're talking about the power of a weekly family check-in.
Yes.
And you're probably thinking, what in the world is that? What does that have to do with me as a parent? Man, we're excited because I haven't really known of a lot of families to do this. And the ones who have, it has been like the game changer of all game changers for them.
Yes.
And we stumbled upon this, and we weren't perfect, you know, doing this by any means, you know, when our kids were younger. Mm-hmm. But I think now more than ever, it's probably more important than it's ever been. And because we're so fragmented and busy, it's kind of like the old saying, two ships passing in the night. A lot of times that's the way it is as families with all the Absolutely. Comings and the goings and
so busy.
Work and, you know, activities and yes. practices during the week and so much going on the weekends. And so if we're not careful, you know, we can get so busy and get so, like I said, fragmented that we're no longer really connecting with each other as a family. And with social media and gaming and just, I mean, it's just nonstop distractions.
Yes.
And so today we're going to have an opportunity to kind of unpack and really break down something that we feel like will be truly a game changer for you. And so it really kind of stems from a verse of scripture that is in Proverbs 27:23. And I want to read this to you before you think, what in the world is he talking about? Stick with me here, okay? Here's what it says, Proverbs 27:23. A shepherd should pay close attention to the faces of his flock and hold close to his heart the condition of those he cares for. So you're saying, I thought this was a parenting podcast. You're talking about goats and sheep and chickens and cows. Well, what this basically means is, some translations refer to this as knowing the state of your flock. In other words, how's everybody doing in your household? Yes. How are things going under your roof? How's your marriage going? What's going on in the lives of your kids? Do you know what they're up to? Do you know what they're thinking? Do you know what they're feeling? Do you know who their friends are? Do you know whether you're on the right path? Do you know if you are moving towards your desired dreams and goals and vision as a family? How do you know any of these things unless you stop and you come together just like you would do, you know, as a team? You know, if you're liking, you know, if you're to liken this to a sports analogy, being in the locker room before the game, the coach gathers the team, you know, or maybe during halftime, when you have the opportunity to make some, you know, adjustments before you go out for the second half. So it's kind of like that, where you gather together with your family and you know, have conversations.
Something that we did with the kids were growing up, and like you said earlier, and I think it not necessarily that we stumbled upon it. I think that it was very intentional on our part that we did this. And I love that scripture that holding close to the heart, the condition, because mm-hmm. I think as a parent, that is our desire, is to hold close and to know the condition of the hearts of our children, to Absolutely. Know what's going on in their world is important to us, But our world, as you stated, moves at such a fast pace. Everything is faster than it's ever been before, which is a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
And I think that our minds move so quickly away from things that are important if we're not intentional to know the state of our flock, to hold close to our heart the condition of our children. And we have some great memories of our family huddles. We have some interesting memories of our family huddles. Yes, where we sit around the table, I remember very well. And but it's so important that we're systematic in our life, that we have habits that we create that are good. And this is a habit that's really important so that we can know that that is coming, that we're going to have the opportunity to sit around and visit about a few things.
Yeah. And I used the word at the very beginning, the word power, the power of a family mm-hmm. check-in, because I think you know, it's been said, and there's truth to this, that at the end of the day, the most time we will ever, ever have with our children is during the time period from the time they're born to the age of 18.
Right.
And once they get beyond 18 years of age and they're out of the house, our time with them radically drops.
Yes.
So therefore, we have to make sure those first 18 years are very intentional. And the last thing we want is to obviously have any regrets. You know, we don't want to look back and say, because you've heard it said, man, our kids, they grew up so fast and time is just passing by. Everything goes so quickly, and it does. It really, really does. And so rather than all the should-haves and could-haves, or I wish we would have spent more time doing this, or we should have focused more on that, let's start today, you know, and let's move forward. Let's build on where we are and what we have.
Time does go by so fast. I had somebody send me a social media post, I think an Instagram video or reel, and the mother was standing against the cabinet looking at her phone, and the little girl, probably 5 years old.
You forwarded that to me.
Yeah, walks up to the mom to ask her a question. The mom's like, you know, give me a minute. I'm working. I'm doing something. And then when the mom looks up from her phone, the girl's a teenager.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just was such an incredible word picture. And
the daughter was just wanting her time and attention.
Yeah, exactly. So, yes, time can't allow life to distract us from the most important things that we have. And that is the heart of our children.
Yeah.
They are a gift from the Lord, the Bible says, and they truly are. And such a blessing, you know, children are to us. They're not a hassle. They're a blessing. So
absolutely,
we got to make sure that we take time to really, really know them.
Yeah. And speaking of intentionality, the other thing, too, is that, you know, studies show that nearly 50% of all Christian kids who, you know, grew up in Christian homes or grew up in a church-type environment, once they graduate from high school, many of them, most of them, sadly and unfortunately, don't come back to the church. They sadly will maybe even abandon the faith, so to speak. And, you know, man, that's just hard for me to swallow. It's like, why? What, where's the missing link? What happened, you know, along the way? Yeah. What was it even foundationally that did not, why did the dots not connect somehow, some way, spiritually, morally, whatever?
Yeah. When you say that, that also makes me think of a mentor that I looked to when we were in the throes of raising elementary school kids. He talked about that he was a spiritual leader and influential person, and people would ask him about his time, you know, with his kids. What did he do to raise such great spiritual champions? And he and his wife would talk about, you know, it wasn't that they had devotionals with them every single day and, you know, made them read the Bible. And although those things are important, it wasn't the answer that you thought was going to come, but it was just spending time together.
Yeah.
And entering his children's world, knowing his children, and playing and enjoying time together and being aware of what was going on in their life was what his answer was to that. Just the time that they spent with their kids.
I think it was, I think her name is Maya Angelou, who was famous for saying, people may forget what you said. Mm-hmm. They may forget what you did.
Yeah.
But they won't forget how you made them feel. And what,
so powerful.
What can we do as parents to create time, to mm-hmm. create space, an environment, a place yes. where our kids feel loved, our kids feel like they matter, that they're important, mm-hmm. they feel a part of something, a close-knit relationship, a connection that is a that almost forms and forges an unbreakable bond.
Yes.
And that's what we want as yes. parents. You know, that's obviously what we strive and work towards. We want our kids to come back home. Yeah. We want them to love and like and enjoy being around us when they are, you know, in their adult years. Mm-hmm. And how do we create that opportunity and give, you know, time and attention to the things that are important. Right. And so that's where the whole power of a family check-in really comes into play because, yeah. again, if we're not intentional about it, time, everything else, we are always competing with something when it related to time, attention, money. There's, you know, somebody's got this commitment or got to be at this place. We're all trying to be at multiple places at the same time, it seems like. And again, we can be like two ships passing in the night if we're not careful. And I just want to give some practical things that I think parents, you can, again, let me just say this. This is something that you can take and put it through your own filter, your own context. Mm-hmm. Again, you may be a single parent. You may be a blended family. And realizing, too, that you're maybe in a season where you have different ages of children, you're going to be at different places and stages and seasons. So for example, you know, you may have a newborn or a toddler, but you may have a teenager in the home. So you have to take what we're going to share today and put it into your context of what makes sense for you. And again, you can adapt and adjust later as your kids maybe get a little more mature or are able to sit still longer than maybe for some of you have smaller children. But I think you get the gist of what we're talking about, and the framework that we're going to share hopefully will be of help to you. So let's just unpack it. So how do we really hold close the condition of our hearts and really enter what I like to say, enter into the world? Mm-hmm. And the only way we can do that is to carve out some time. We recommend a minimum of 30 minutes. And I know that's even stretching it for some. They're thinking, oh my goodness, there's just no way my kids are going to sit still for 30 minutes. Again, work through this the best you can. And so you don't have to do it exactly like what we're talking about here, but just to, for starters, and again, to serve as a framework. And it may end up going longer than 30 minutes, but it would be great if maybe we just put this through the filter of a 30-minute time frame. And so first and foremost, here's what it looks like. A family check-in is an opportunity where we are, as you stated earlier, systematic and scheduled where, and you pick the time, pick the night, or maybe it's a Saturday morning or whatever. Mm-hmm. Pick the time, pick the place, where everybody can be together, and it really does need to be established as a priority or it won't happen. And everybody needs to make every effort possible to be present. Because the moment you start accommodating and get flexibility, it's not going to work. So this really has to be established in really work hard at holding true to whatever time and place you establish. But here's the first thing I would recommend, and this is something we used to do, and it's just start with the highs and the lows. Mm-hmm. So the best way to just begin the conversation is that, hey, tell us about your day. Tell us about your week. Give us the highs, you know, start with the positive and let them share, you know, something cool that happened. Celebrate a win, you know, go around. And when somebody shares something, maybe they did good on their test. Maybe they made a new friend or, you know, something really cool happened. Well, everybody go around and clap, you know, affirm, you know, celebrate. It's important that we recognize, the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. Recognize God's blessings, recognize God's favor, and just celebrate the wins.
Yes.
And give everybody an opportunity to have the voice to share those.
One thing that's so great about having this family huddle time is that everybody has a voice and everybody knows it's coming and everybody knows I'm going to get a chance to speak, you know, because in families, we're all unique. We're all different. We have all kinds of personalities. You got the firstborn, however many you have. The birth order has an effect on all of that. And also, you know, just your personality type. You may have the boisterous, loud leader in the group that doesn't ever allow the shy one, the quiet one to have their voice.
Right.
And it's really fun to be able to go around the table and every voice is heard.
Yeah.
So when you ask a simple question like that, what was your high? What was your low? It gives them an opportunity to speak, which is so important. And we've heard from our children as adults now how important it is to them that they had a chance to speak.
And what that allows is it allows you to know, once again, the condition of their hearts.
Right.
It allows you to know what's going on in their minds and their hearts, just in their world. Again, it's all about entering into each other's world, being together, you know, as a family, because there's so much that's pulling us apart.
Right.
And so it's celebrating the wins. It's, you know, letting them talk through the highs, the victories, but also the lows, you know, so this gives everybody an opportunity to express empathy, to, you know, to know, once again, a hardship, a trial, maybe a failure, a setback, you know, whatever it may be. But they also need to know that there's a safe place. They're not going to get condemned. People aren't going to accuse them or point the finger and blame them for whatever. It's a safe place because it's family. It's a safe place to share, you know, some struggles.
Yeah.
And what these wins and what the highs and what the lows allow us to do is also have those one-off individual conversations.
Exactly.
Where we can affirm, which is, hey, I want you to know I was really proud of you. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's that one-off conversation, say, hey, I want to know more about what's going on and what can I do? How can I help? You know, because what that does, it lets your kids know, once again, there's a safe place. It builds security.
Yes, and I think that it's really important that you establish the ground rules up front.
Yes.
That this is a safe place.
Yes.
This is not a place where we're making fun or, you know, joking around about something that one of our siblings is going through.
Yeah.
You know, it's a safe place we're going to honor. And that all goes back to our values as a family, too. Mm-hmm. Have we established what those values are, that we honor and respect each other? And, of course, there's no perfect family.
Right.
But you have to establish that up front, that it is a safe place. And our homes should be the safest place in the entire world for our kids.
No question.
They should
feel
emotionally, spiritually, every area of their life. It should be the safest place. And so this huddle is a great thing for them to look forward to.
Absolutely. So be creative, have fun with it. It doesn't have to be a state of the union, you know, state of the union, you know, we the family. But no, it's just having some time, highs, lows, just take a few moments.
Yes.
And then the next thing is, if you don't have a family mission and vision statement or purpose statement, I would highly encourage you to do that. Let me just say, in fact, Michelle and I, we wrote a book called Family Shift, and we actually walk you through, we teach you how to establish a family mission and vision statement, purpose statement. We actually share our own. We walk you through it, outline steps that you can take to create your own. So I highly recommend that. And then also we talk about establishing your own family core values. It's really important that you have family values. That way, those values establish not only what is most important to you as a family, but they serve as guardrails to guide you. And they really, guideposts to guide you and guardrails to protect you. Mm-hmm. And so those values are really, really important. And so with that in mind, this is an opportunity for you to also review as a family, your vision. Hey, this is where we're going as a family. This is our desired, intention. This is who we are striving to become as a family. We're all a work in progress. But this is who we're striving to become. This is where we really feel God wants us to go as a family. And, once we talk through those things, then it gives you an opportunity to also, talk about things such as your goals. How's everybody doing on your goals? Again, we share this, 5 specific goals in our book called Family Shift. So with that, these are things that kind of keep you on track, to kind of build some accountability into, your relationships and really your family unit, so that everybody's moving forward, working towards those common goals. And that family check-in time gives everybody an opportunity to kind of give a report, so to speak, on how things are going. And again, depending on the ages of your children, this is all going to be relevant to the age of our kids. But I think the main thing is just establishing a time and a place and creating some boundaries and a framework so that we have a track to run on. Another thing that's really important to establish is to tell stories. And this here can be really a lot of fun. It could be something, a current event. It could be, something that you remember, from your childhood growing up, something you remember your mom used to say, your dad used to say, or you remember your grandparents used to do this or do that. And the reason why that's important is because it keeps your family heritage and legacy, in place. I love what Psalm 78, teaches us. It says, mm-hmm. We heard true stories from our fathers about our rich heritage. And we will continue to tell our children and not hide from them the rising generation, the great marvels of our God. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important that we share stories of God's faithfulness, share stories of how God has answered prayer in our lives, in our family, to see how far God has brought us as a family. Mm-hmm. And again, it just builds the faith of our children. It builds that sense of faith-filled spiritual focus into our family relationships. Yes. So vitally important. Yes. And it gives a greater sense of, I think, appreciation, mm-hmm. and even interest and intrigue with our children to want to know more about, what our great-grandparents may have been like, or what our grandparents were like growing up. And so all those memories, if anything, it allows us to be able, once again, to pass on our legacy of faith, mm-hmm. to our children.
Yes.
And share how our upbringing and the culture and the environment that we were raised in, how that helped us, how it hurt us, things that we learned from that, both good and bad, mm-hmm. once again, that we can share with our children. So vitally important. Because, again, who else are they going to learn this from? Where else are they going to go to have these kinds of conversations,
exactly.
that's going to build on this kind of foundation, right. for their lives?
Right. That's God's plan for the family. So good. And as you're kind of walking through and we wrap it up, is just having a time to share prayer requests.
Yes.
And this is very revealing. The highs and the lows are very revealing. But when a child is willing to say, "Can you pray for me?" The person next to me in class is being ugly, is being mean to me,
yeah.
or bullying me, or whatever they may reveal to you, a friend that has walked out on them, or a parent of a friend that is sick. You never know what they're going to bring to the table, but it's so revealing as to what's top of the list in their mind.
Absolutely.
It's telling you, my child is thinking about this a lot. Mm-hmm. So it reveals the heart. So you're starting to, as this family huddle, starts to wrap up, you're understanding the condition of the heart of your family, of your children, so much better. It gives you clarity as to where they're at, and obviously gives you the opportunity to lead them by praying for the situations that they're going through. Spiritually, it gives you the opportunity to lead the way and teach by example to your kiddos.
Yeah. I just think when kids have that safe place in their home where they can share and know that they're not going to be met with ridicule or be made fun of or belittled, but it's a safe place for them to share their hearts, to be transparent, and to know that they're loved and accepted unconditionally no matter what. Mm-hmm. But when we open up their hearts and they're able to share those things, and then knowing the power of prayer, when we pray through things, there are specific requests. That's what I love about the book of Philippians. The Bible teaches us, don't be anxious about anything, but through everything. What does it say? It says through prayer, let your request be made known unto God. Mm-hmm. And then the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. So with all that to say, when our kids are feeling uptight or anxious, they're worried, they're fearful, and again, that's where a lot of our kids are. Mm-hmm. They need to know the best way to handle that is not through isolation, it's through prayer. And so we don't pray as a last resort. Mm-hmm. Prayer should always be our first response. Mm-hmm. So five things that we try to always make sure we cover, that we call them the five P's of prayer. Mm-hmm. Praying for God's protection, praying for God's presence, that his presence, he will never leave us, he will never forsake us, but just knowing, being aware that God is there, his presence goes with us, he's before us, he's behind us. And then not only God's presence and God's protection, but God's provision, that he'll provide and meet every need that we have. God's power, that he gives us a supernatural strength to do what we can't do on our own. And of course, God's peace. And so when we pray specifically for his presence, his provision, his protection, his power and his peace, it's amazing what that does. And when God answers prayer, like the old saying, nothing motivates prayer more than seeing answers to our prayers. So it's what builds our faith. Right. It brings us together and it makes us healthier, stronger. That's how you build spiritually resilient kids, is when they see God working in and through their life, in and through their family, in and through their circumstances. And so, again, this is a simple framework. Put your own spin on it. Do what you can do at the stage and place and season you're in.
Right.
But the main thing, I think, is just setting aside time and be consistent with it.
Yeah, whether it's weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, whatever works
just do it. Make it a priority and watch comes from that.
Yeah.
The fruit that will come from that, I promise you, that will be one of the, I think, most talked about and perhaps one of the most impactful memories that our children will ever have, is knowing they remember those conversations, they remember those family gatherings where they spent time just talking and entering into each other's world.
And ultimately, we're building the safest place on the earth, and it's our home.
That's
for
it.
Our kids.
That's it.
Well, thank you guys for watching and being a part.
Absolutely.
Maybe on the treadmill, the Peloton, listening to this podcast.
Yeah, driving down the road,
wherever
you are. We want you to know that, hey, we're championing you as parents so that you can ultimately raise up strong, spiritually resilient kids. And can we just encourage you once again to pass this along, share it with some friends, rate, review, and then don't forget to DM us. Send us your questions. We would love to be able to answer specific questions And if you'd like to get a copy of The Family Shift, once again, it will be on the screen there. You can text that number, and we'd love for you to get a copy of that. Share that with some friends. There's other tools, companion resources that go with that as well. But until next time, thank you for joining us here at the Winning Family Podcast.